So the Toddcast, we're back, and I got a guest, Coach Kelch, Patrick, my good friend.
Hey. Man, I tell you what, we're going to start recording these a little bit earlier. I'm old.
Well, the NBA free agency day one is about to conclude. Not really any surprises except for, like, Kevin Durant wants to get traded.
Man, I saw the best jersey on Twitter a while ago, and it was a Bender jersey from Phoenix. And somebody wrote a K-E, and then they ended it with Rant. So it looked like it was Kev Bender Rant. And it was on a Phoenix Suns jersey, man. I thought it was pretty creative, pretty, you know, funny stuff. But, yeah, I was kind of shocked, man. After Kyrie mentioned that he was going to stay in New Jersey, I kind of expected Durant to do the same, but it kind of looks to me like nobody wants to play with Kyrie.
Nothing shocks me about, well, especially Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but like in the player empowerment era of the NBA, like just when you thought NBA free agency was going to go, like it was going to go off and there wasn't going to be any surprises. And then, out of nowhere, Kevin Durant asked for trade from Brooklyn, and the whole thing is turned upside down. Who knows what Kyrie Irving wants to do? I don't know. Like, if they get a haul back for Durant, why would he want to leave the Nets?
Man, I just feel like, you know, when Durant's healthy, I still feel and believe that he may be the best scorer of all time. But, you know, some of the things I'm seeing people say that teams should give up to get him right now in his career, I don't think I would sell myself. I wouldn't sell out to get him. And I feel like, you know, New Jersey's position. And I don't think they're just going to give him away. But, you know, like, for example, I follow the Celtics and I saw where somebody was said they should have to trade Jaylen Brown, Robert Williams, Marcus Smart, and 2 first-round picks for Durant. I'm like, you know, as good as I think Durant is.
Yeah, pump the brakes a little bit. Robert Williams might be the most valuable defensive player in the league. If he was healthy, the Celtics are probably the NBA champions.
Well, Marcus you've told Clark me that.
Was the defensive player of the year. I don't know. I saw Phoenix, a package that would include DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges. Plus future picks. That's a haul. The Nets are in a pretty good position despite both of their, well, two of the three guys that have totally fleeced the franchise wanting completely out. I don't know. I mean, Kyrie Irving may not want out. Who knows what he wants? But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see in the next couple of days what these packages are, what they consist of to make the money match to get Kevin Durant to Phoenix, or I guess Miami is another destination that he would like, but I don't know if that's possible. I'm not sure what valuable pieces they have to move to get Durant.
Well, I think the Eastern Conference right now is strong. I mean, Milwaukee, Miami, yeah. Austin, Philadelphia, and I know Joel Embiid's on Twitter trying to make a push to get Durant. And I just don't think the Celtics made the NBA Finals this year without Durant. Right. You know, and I think if they take off those pieces and add Durant, I'm not so sure they're in the same position that they were in this year. So
right.
I just don't feel like I'm not an NBA GM, and I know there's a lot more into it, you know, with money and salary caps and things like that. But it's hard to understand for anyone.
The way the contracts are broken down, the way they have to make contracts match, and the rights that teams have to certain players. I saw something about Bam Adebayo is a designated player that the Nets wouldn't be able to have if Ben Simmons is still under contract. I don't know. It's something about being a designated player. It's hard to understand. I wish it was like more like international soccer where, you know, there's a transfer window. If you got the money to get this guy, you get him.
Well, and, you know, Ben Simmons is another guy. I mean, it seems like the Nets have a full cast of characters, man. Yeah,
it's a soap opera.
Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, I'd like to be in the middle of that conversation.
They are in a weird situation. I mean, I'm not sure if you saw when Kyrie Irving, after the season, basically was saying, you know, he's going to work with Kevin Durant, the front office, to try to get pieces. And he didn't even mention the head coach, Steve Nash. And then you see reports that, you know, he was doing separate things at practice from Steve Nash. It's just an odd situation, you know, that he was a player that was incredible when he was on the court, which was only a quarter of the season.
Well, especially this year, but, you know, just think of all the teams that Kyrie's played for in the past few years that, you know, Kyrie's a remarkable individual player, but, it, you know, other than the Cavaliers and LeBron, I don't know if he's fit with any team, and I don't know if that's him. I don't know if that's just, you know, if he's doing stuff for the Nets behind the coach's back, that's obviously not going to go over well. But, you know, when he was with the Celtics, he was a remarkable individual player, but I don't think they ever gelled chemistry wise or, you know, as a team.
Yeah, it didn't. And I mean, it seemed like they got worse when Isaiah Thomas was injured and then they added Kyrie Irving.
And that shouldn't happen. That just doesn't make sense. And, you know, but it seems like the only person been able to thrive with Kyrie's LeBron. And
yeah, who's not thrive with LeBron James? I mean, he took Sasha Pavlovich to the NBA Finals.
Anderson Varejao.
Timofey Mozgov.
Dellavedova.
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 Steph Curry literally put him in the hospital. Deli had to chase Steph around for several games. It ended up in the hospital.
I mean,
that's how great Steph Curry was. It still is.
You know, you were talking about how Kevin Durant thing, but there have been a few other things that kind of shocked me. You know, first of all, I didn't expect Bradley Beal to re-sign with the Wizards, but after you see the contract he got,
right?
How do you say no to that?
Yeah, I mean, how many years before a player is probably going to be Luka Doncic? Honestly, that'll make $100 million in one season. Like,
well, I think wasn't Beal's like 5 year, $250 million or something,
right?
Jeez. And then, you know, there was somebody else. Oh, the whole John Wall situation there.
he made $100 million and didn't play a second.
Whoever his agent is, that man needs a raise.
No doubt.
That guy ain't played a full season. You know, I'm a John Wall fan, obviously, being a Kentucky fan. You know, I think, you know, him and Boogie is kind of what rejuvenized the whole –
Yeah, they,
you know, after the Billy Clyde era, but
they brought us,
you
know, back.
That man right there, I don't know. When's the last time he's played a full season in the league, and has he played a full season?
The last time he played a full season was probably the Obama administration.
that was a while ago.
Which right now seems like two decades ago.
We probably don't need to get into politics on here. We're in the minority, but.
So John Wall was due, what, $49 million this year. He took a $41 million buyout, then took the taxpayer exception and made that up by signing with the Clippers. So he's going to get his $50 million this year.
I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I'd love to see him play a full season healthy because, you know, I saw his highlight package early on his career on Twitter the other day, man. You're talking about an explosive guard that just dunk on you. And
oh, yeah. His senior season Word of God highlight
mixtape
is probably the best high school mixtape that has ever existed.
I agree.
That was ridiculous, and that made me think, oh, we're going to go undefeated, win national title, and damn near happened, man.
Joe Mazzulla?
Yeah.
Made him look like an all-star, but speaking of prizes. What about James Harden?
Taking less money. That,
I like that.
That's out of the I didn't expect that from James Harden.
No, me neither. And that tells me that he's trying to get some, you know, players in there to make Philly a competitor.
Yeah. And it seems like Daryl Morey is like, all right, we're gonna pick up some players that James Harden's familiar with, at least, like, and Morey's familiar with in Houston. They got PJ Tucker, who was in Houston with Harden, Daniel House, who was in Houston with Harden. So
is PJ Tucker still in Miami right now?
No, PJ Tucker has signed three-year $33 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers.
I must have missed that on the tweeter machine today.
Which, you know, Miami, I can't really blame them for not wanting to give a 37-year-old a three-year contract. Philly, they were desperate to add something that really helped their team, and he will help their team. Yeah. So Philly's going to have a great starting five. That you've got Harden, you got Maxey, PJ Tucker, Tobias Harris, and Joel Embiid.
I definitely believe that, you know, like I said, I think the Eastern Conference is way stronger top to bottom than, you know, the Western Conference is right now. But if Philadelphia adds a couple more pieces, this money that Harden's, you know, taking a pay cut, I look for – they may – you know, them and Milwaukee I think will be the top two. I think the Celtics made a run this year, and I think they're about a year short from what I expected. But – and I saw a lineup that Miami put out today. If Durant were to go to Miami, man, that – their lineup would be
that would be
crazy.
That would be a crazy lineup. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, they had – several pieces for this year. They had, you know, Strus and Gabe Vincent really had to step up. Duncan Robinson, I don't even know, is he even an NBA player? Let's ask Garrett's he's a Miami Heat fan. Are you still a Miami Heat fan, Garrett?
Back in the day, I used to be.
You were like Dwayne when they had Wade.
More D Wade guy.
Right. Well, I mean, I've recently become infatuated with the Miami Heat. I don't know. Jimmy Butler does something for me. His toughness does something for me.
Anyone that gets drafted there just seems to get paid.
Yeah, no doubt.
And better.
Pat Riley and Spoelstra, they do such a good job. Garrett, what's the highlight of the NBA free agency day one for you so far?
KD being a menace to society.
Yeah, so
we've talked a little. Because this is how I think that the situation went. He was like, "All right, look, I'm gonna get Kyrie back, and then I'm gonna bail, so that I get Kyrie back for no reason." Because that's essentially what happened. He was like, "Kyrie, come back.
Wants to play with Kyrie, man."
I don't know what's the deal with Kyrie. I think the downfall of his career started when he left the Cavs, to be honest with you.
That's what we talked about a while ago. I think LeBron's the only player that's been able to play with him, and both of them have success.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're two, either the first duo ever to score 40 in a game, in a finals game, I think. LeBron and Kyrie.
41. Was that like game five or game six of that series? Came back from a 3-1. Yeah.
The only other thing that really struck out to me today was just how much the people are getting paid. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to get insane. And
Patrick, $264 million, $251 million, $216 million, I think is what I saw from –
I mean, Malik Monk was nothing but a role player, and he's getting 2-year, $19 million, almost 10 a year.
The Kings are so bad that they're saying, you know what backcourt we need? UK's whatever.
UK's 2017 starting.
Yeah, they're 2017 starting backcourt. Which was a good college starting backcourt, but they didn't even win the national title.
I also think
we don't want to talk about that either.
It's weird that KD said that he wanted to go to the Suns or the Heat. I mean, I guess it's not weird. I guess it's bougie or outrageous.
Yeah.
There's no way that if I'm the Heat, I'm trading any of those young guys for a 34-year-old KD. I'm sorry.
I'm trading whoever.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin. I guess maybe their situation, because they have three of the same exact players. But
I would trade Max Strus and Duncan Robinson for him. But other than that,
listen, any trade Miami Heat does this offseason, if they do any trades, Duncan Robinson's going to be involved. They signed him to a really bad deal. He's getting paid way too much, and they're going.
Well, Max Strus took his minutes. They're the same type player.
Max Strus did.
That's what I did. I mean, Strus shoots and plays little defense, just like Robinson. So, I mean,
I think Strus got on the floor because he plays a little bit better defense than Duncan Robinson.
What are you guys?
He's a little bit more athletic too. Strus will dunk on you.
Yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts on Jay Wall to the Clippers?
Well, we talked about that a little bit earlier, and here's my take on John Wall going to the Clippers. It reminds me a little of when Derrick Rose got injured and came back, but I think where Wall is different than that is that he's played so many. He's played so many minutes using pick and roll, playing pick and roll basketball. And he's a savant really when it comes to reading, making reads on the pick and roll. He was doing stuff out of the pick and roll that, you know, you see Luka Doncic do now, where he's throwing a cross court pass into a shooter's pocket. And I think he can still do that, even though he might not be as athletic as he once was. Where I worry about John Wall is he going to be able to guard?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've seen it in other sports where a guy sits out like Le'Veon Bell and comes back a year later and is not nearly the same.
Right.
But imagine how fun the Clippers can be if Wall's healthy with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, if they all stay healthy.
Well, Wall's the type of guy that doesn't have to score, and that fits in perfectly there with them.
Right.
Too. I mean, he can just give them the ball, and if he gets out on a fast break, you know, and scores 15 a game, that's going to be plenty.
Yeah, it's not like when Durant got hurt, you know, he's going to come back and he's going to be the number one option. John Wall's coming back and he's going to be the number three option, and maybe not even the number three option because he's going to be the distributor. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think they won't expect him to score at all. And I think Ty Lue's a good enough coach to work him in to where he just succeeds. I mean, pretty much anybody that – I mean, like Reggie Jackson's kind of had a renaissance there when he came back. Yeah. I mean, there's others I'm not thinking of, but off the top of my head. But
yeah. I like the John Wall, and good for John Wall because, you know, he still got his $49 million this year. Yeah,
his agent's the real MVP. Anybody that can structure a deal, work it out, still get $50 million and ain't played a full season in 5, 6, 7 years.
Jalen Brunson's agent.
That's what I was about to say, dude. The Knicks, I'm on the verge of saying the Knicks are close to poverty franchise level.
I mean, they pulled the old hire the dude's dad, to get in the NBA, dude.
I don't understand. They've done this the last couple free agencies. They're like, oh, we're the Knicks. We're gonna get somebody big, and then they sign like Julius Randle,
Evan Fournier.
I mean, that terrible contract. Crazy.
Yeah, they just signed Mitchell Robinson to like $120 million or something.
I'm just telling you, I see why their fans boo them on draft night.
And then the draft pick that they took the other night and traded away. I mean, you can't make it up.
No, that needs to be its own 30 for 30.
Those fans.
When they said that they were signing that. Because before the free agency started, I was watching NBA Today or whatever, and they said that the Knicks were going after Jalen Brunson as, like, their main target. And I was like, of all the people, you're going after Jalen Brunson? No, I mean, he had a good season. He had a great season.
Here's, but he's I not like, that guy. I like Jalen Brunson. He did really well when Luka was out. You know, he's probably the most patient player that I've seen when he's on off the pick and roll penetrating. He's patient as hell. Like, he'll get into the lane and pivot, pump fake. And just when you think he's about to kick it out, he pivots again and gets a layup.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's they real
were Shaq and Chuck, and then we're talking about his post moves, like how good he was in the post, like on TNT and shit.
I just don't – how can he be the number one or number two option on a team like that?
That's what I was getting ready to say.
He's not.
At full health, the Knicks are a play-in team.
Yeah.
And
I think you're giving them a little bit more credit than what I would give them.
And that's if Randle isn't stinking up the gym like he did this year.
Right. And RJ Barrett, who's mad and consistent.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Yeah, so Jalen Brunson, huge deal. But is PJ Tucker the best signing so far?
Well, I saw something that said that the Warriors are trying to sign Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis re-signed with the Bucks, I think.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought he tweeted something four more years or something.
Yeah. Oh, okay, well, I saw something that said where they were going to I'm looking through here.
They brought back Portis.
They got Joe Ingles. Wow.
They got Joe Ingles. They brought back Wesley Matthews, and they brought back
– I mean, Lou Dort got $87 million, boys.
We're in the wrong profession, guys.
Lou Dort. Well, somebody's got to take some money from Oklahoma City. Like, they have 25 people on rookie contracts.
Tyus Jones, 2 years, 15 or two yes. years, 30 mil. I mean, yes. My gosh.
The Grizzlies paid him 30 million.
Well, I think Lonnie Walker will be good with the Lakers.
That's how bad the Lakers are.
I don't think he's the best. Obviously, he's not the best signing, and I think the Lakers need to do a lot more. They lost Malik.
They can't do a lot more.
They need to trade Russ because that just isn't it.
How?
I will say that's another thing that kind of
threw me off. That's an untradeable contract.
They should have traded for Kyrie when all that was going on, but.
Well, no, what they should have done is like said, LeBron, you're not the GM. We're going to make this trade for Buddy Hield instead of getting your buddy Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, that's what should have happened. All right, boys. Well, it was good talking. I'm going to hop off here. Got to get up to work in the morning. So
good talking.
All right, G.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for joining the podcast tonight.
Yes, sir. Peace.
Later. See you.
Okay.
But, man,
to end this podcast, we're going to give everyone a little preview of a future podcast that we're going to do. It's called the Junk Wax Pod. So I don't know if anyone knows about Junk Wax Box, but it's like a subscription service. I joined because of seeing it on TikTok. Junk Wax Sal, shout out Junk Wax Sal. He opens packs on TikTok, and then he's got like stands. I'm not gonna rip off his idea,
right?
He's got like he'll open a pack and he'll put whatever cards he thinks are eligible for a stand. But we're just gonna open packs and see what we got and talk a little bit about what the cards we get.
Man, I'm excited about this because it kind of, you know, takes me back to my childhood. Because I've never been a big collector. I didn't collect a lot of things, but one thing I did do was collect baseball cards. And I just got so many stories from the baseball cards I collected anywhere from like, you know, the early mid 80s on. And, you know, one of the things, you know, we did at our house was back in the day, you could order the complete top sets. And we had every top set completed from like 82 to like 97 or 98. And
heck yeah.
Then I don't know if the flood got them when we the 97 flood or whatever, but somehow or another, those, they've disappeared. Man, just think about it. I just remember the excitement of opening up a pack of cards, and whether you got anybody good or not, you know, it was still the unknown or the mystery behind opening up a pack.
Right. And, you know, some of my most fondest memories of like collecting baseball cards, basketball cards, football cards is Kelch Brothers Grocery. My dad in that back room, and I didn't have anything to do. He and my grandpa would just you'd tell me to go to town on the cards that were there. So I would be in the stock room and just opening up trading cards all day long, especially on Saturday afternoon. Your brother was, he worked there. I had a great time just opening up cards, and I still have a lot of them. Mostly like 89 to 93 Donruss Topps Fleer Bowman.
I think one of the coolest cards of all time was that Griffey Jr. rookie of the when the Upper Deck came out.
Yeah. When Upper Deck came out, I think McKibben's was still the store down here. McKibben's had Upper Deck, and I just remember getting my first Upper Deck pack, and it was like something that was totally foreign. The cards were glossy as opposed to what Topps had been for so long.
Well, when you opened up a Topps back in the day, you had to wipe off all the bubble gum off of it because the powder, because the stick was harder than a rock.
Right. Well, we'll see if we get any gum in this pack. The pack that I'm opening up tonight is 1993 Score Select.
I remember that.
Premier Edition. Looking for the Derek Jeter rookie card in this.
I was going to say, 93 is probably Jeter's rookie year.
Jeter rookie card is the most valuable card of this set. I think the value is like $400 or something like that.
Man, do you remember when we'd open the cards and we'd pull out the Beckett magazine and we'd find the year and what the card was worth? And
the Beckett, getting a Beckett from like Kroger or whatever was a huge deal back in the day.
The price guide, man.
Yeah. All right. So here's a pack of Score Select.
Let's see who we got.
Dan Walters, San Diego Padres. Don't know anything about Dan Walters.
No, I probably would have said he was a pitcher, but by the look of that swing, he's probably not a pitcher.
He was a catcher.
All right, 0-1.
In 92, he batted .251, four home runs.
Well, shit, he'd be the leading hitter on the Cincinnati Reds of 2022.
Oh, here's a good one. Jim Thome.
Thome was a hot item for the Cleveland Indians.
I mean, this is a young Jim Thome.
What was his rookie year?
I'm not sure, but this doesn't have like – so in 92, this has got to be his second year because career total 67 games. In 92, he had 40 games, so –
Well, he was drafted in 89, but his rookie card is the
baseman too.
Well, his rookie card is the 1992 Upper Deck.
Right. Right.
So once again, Upper Deck coming in, kind of taking over the baseball card game.
So here we got right-handed pitcher Mike Perez of the St. Louis Cardinals.
There were so many Perez's back then, man. The Latin American, Dominican Republic, Cuban.
So
it was just
he wore number 42, which you can't even do anymore.
Jackie Lenny Robinson, good call.
Lenny Harris, pinch hitting machine, Lenny Harris.
I met Lenny Harris at a 5-star hotel one time.
Lenny Harris played so long and barely got his jersey dirty.
He did was pinch hit.
Jimmy Key, pitcher. Blue Jays.
I thought you were going to tell me Jimmy Abbott.
He was 13-13 in 92 for the Jays.
And I'll tell you something we'll look at as we go through. Talk about like how many innings pitched and stuff they did back then as opposed to now with the load management crap.
Right. Reds player, Major League Baseball champion Joe Oliver.
Damian Smithers, rest in peace, caught a home run at Riverfront Stadium by Joe Oliver.
Nice.
In the 1990 season.
Joe Oliver was a good catcher, especially in that 90 season.
Him and Jeff Reed.
Jeff Reed was a good catcher, too. Here we go. Brian McCray, son of Hal McCray.
I think Brian McCray actually I think he had more hype surrounding him than he actually produced.
Here we got another red, Scott Bankhead.
I remember Scott Bankhead. Yeah.
Milt Coiler.
No, can't say I know much about Milt.
I know he can't be too good if in his baseball card he's bunting.
and he's wearing a Tigers uniform.
Mike Mussina, great
pitcher. Hey.
Great pitcher.
Mussina, I don't know if he won a Cy Young or not.
Here's a name from the past. Bob Tewksbury. I had a lot of Bob Tewksbury cards back in the day.
Hey, I'll tell you a game me and my brother used to play was we would cover the name up and show that you had to identify it just on the face.
Andy Van Slyke.
Oh, he's a Pirate. Great. I grew up with Pirate fans.
So here's a pretty good one. Albert Bell.
Ooh. Albert Joey Bell.
Yeah. Hey, nasty boy, Rob Dibble. Oh, great pull.
And you pulling a lot of reds out of that pack.
I can't believe I've had this many reds in my first pack.
You had a whole battery with Bankhead, Dibble, and Joe Oliver.
Yeah. Hey, Dibble Oliver, hell of a battery. Last card here, Kent Herbeck.
Oh, Minnesota Twins.
Who did he pull off first base in the World Series at one time? Do you remember that? He hooked somebody on a pickoff move, pulled them off.
I vaguely remember that. But who did Minnesota play?
Was it the Braves?
It had to be the Braves. The Braves were hot. Terry Pendleton.
Yeah.
You know, they went through a stretch there in the 90s when we got more games of them on TBS than we ever got of the Reds.
Right. Superstation. America's team.
America's team. Ted Turner, baby. Money.
Well, that was fun. So,
man, we're going to have fun with that.
Yeah, next week we're going to open up three packs. I'm going to do one basketball, one baseball, and one football. And then we'll do another one. This box runs out. And then next month I'll get a new box. I think it's well worth it. I got to give a shout out to Junk Wax Box. Follow them on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. Subscribe. I mean, it's a pretty cool subscription service. For $30, you get 9 packs each month. That's like with shipping and handling, it comes out to like $4 a pack. It's not bad.
No, I remember back in the day, we would have paid a lot more than $4 for a pack.
Fact. I mean,
I know how much money I spent on Steve Martin's dice gang down at the flea market.
I don't know if you would see any of these players on Steve Martin's dice game.
Oh, yeah. You would have seen all of them on the most popular numbers rolled.
Right. Like a 14.
Yeah. Now, you wouldn't see him on the 4 card or the 24 card.
Right. All right, man. Have a good night. And everybody join us next week. We're going to have our first episode of the Junk Wax Pod.
When we get the information out there, you know, make sure everybody follows the podcast on Apple and Spotify. We're going to have it on all the platforms.
That's right. And I'll have more NBA free agency coverage on the Toddcast and other sports stuff. I've got something I'm working on, a couple other interviews. So keep looking out. I'm going to start doing this a little bit more.
Also, one last time, if anybody needs any logo work, Todd's logo game is, man, I'm telling you, it's fire. Wait till you see these logos he's got for this new thing he's got coming up here. It's nice. And, of course, he did my Stay Hot podcast. And I don't know if there's a podcast logo around him better than that.
That was one of my favorite things that I've done in my limited graphic design career is the Stay Hot podcast logo.
Well, you wait till they see what you got coming out here with the Junk Wax Pod. It's sharp. All right, man, I appreciate it. And we'll get together on this on Tuesday.
Peace out.
All right, man.